Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
On the way back, we stopped at the Maryland House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the redone Maryland
House. Yeah, it's nice now.
It's very nice. Yeah. And there was no line at all at the...
That's a rest stop, for those who don't
Nathan's,
know.
That's
a, it's a rest correct. Stop on I-95.
No line at all, and we ordered food, and it took 20 minutes. This is not fast food. It took 20 minutes to get the food.
Yep.
That's awful.
Well, some of us in the car did not want to stop.
Just hand me food. Here's money. Give me whatever you have.
You don't have a hot dog sitting there?
What is this?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You can't call it fast food if you have to stand there for 20 minutes and wait for it. For 20 minutes, the palm can get you a steak. This is nonsense. David Aldridge is here. Tori Clark is here. Kevin is here, going to do the news for us. Michael Kornheiser is here, fresh from a golf experience yesterday.
Still upset we had to stop.
Yeah, well, as fast as you go, it was okay to stop for a while. I could breathe again. You're
I
in
drive.
The left lane going fast.
No, I'm not
you're
in the left lane.
You're close to the people in front of you.
I'm going
I love
at the speed
you.
Of traffic
exactly.
on a major highway.
Which is what you're supposed to do.
Claude is running the board today. Nigel may show up in the middle of the show. Do we have that correct? He may
he
or may
might.
Not.
He so may or may not. Okay. 50-50.
It doesn't matter. We're
it's
at Chatter.
It's always 50-50 with him.
We're open for breakfast. We're at Chatter. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights. I want to talk, Michael, Michael played in a, yesterday, of course it rained. I will get, you know what, let me just start with rain.
How about you start with one complete sentence?
Let me start, thank you, Tori. So yesterday, last evening, I am watching the Nats game for no reason because the Nats are playing the Marlins. It doesn't matter. I would like to say that
Harper got 100.
There were more people in your living room than there were at this.
So it's drizzling. It's drizzling and raining in front of my house. It's drizzling on the Nats broadcast. This marks to me about the fourth or fifth straight day of drizzle at Nats broadcast, and in my life, probably about 10 of the last 11 days of rain. On my way home yesterday, I was listening to TOP, and Doug Kammerer gave the next four-day forecast every single day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every mm-hmm. single day had rain in it. And he said, you know, we might be dry on Thursday, but then we have thunderstorms Thursday night. Right. I take my dog out into what used to be my backyard. My backyard, which slopes down, is the last third of it is simply mud. You cannot walk in it. You're slipping. It's just mud. There's no grass. This happens when you have a dog. That the dog churns it up. There's sure. nothing there to allow you to walk. It is so dreary. You look at the Nats game in the front row. There are those brothers, mm-hmm. and that's all there are.
No Silesian, the Silesian
no,
seats.
And they're wearing. Everybody's wearing ponchos. There's like nine people in these great seats. It is so amazingly dreary. It sucks the life out of you. When did we become Seattle or Miami or Houston with all this rain? And by the way, Strasburg out after four, 100 pitches, and at one point called people out there, and I went, oh no, he's going on the DL. He's going on the DL again, even though there's 4 days left.
Going forward to
but
next
I
season.
But I guess it was the stepping. I guess it was you know, just the way he
was. I was shocked they even put him out there in those conditions.
What is the point?
I think here's what I'm thinking. He's going to slip on the rubber and blow out his ACL.
That's exactly.
That's the move.
100 pitches in four innings. Hi, Gio. Let me show you what I remember from you.
And he now just talks to the umpire after every inning.
Right. So it's, right. it's it, right. Do you not feel depressed by this weather? We've yes. had such terrible weather.
Everything's getting moldy. My clothes yes. are getting moldy. Just, my car smells yes. kind of moldy. The dog's getting mold behind the
couple
ears.
Of the kids.
When we were walking, Michael and I were walking in here today, and you said what you said about September weather usually.
Well, you're supposed to get your best weather of the
yeah.
year.
Yes.
And these last 2 years, we've had really bad Septembers. And oddly enough, November is now the highlight of our weather calendar. We usually get a mild start to November. How sad is that?
You can't grow grass anymore in November, or you can't grow... Yeah. Tomatoes.
I'll get your grass back the first 2 weeks of October. If you get that dog out of the house for 10 days, I'll have all of that filled
in. Who am I going to send the dog? To SpaceX? What am I going to do with the dog? Just send the dog out?
To the beach.
Exactly.
No. So, you know what I mean?
No, I know. I used to love, I would always, in the old days when I was doing college football, would love October. Yeah. Because it was always, you could always travel anywhere, and it was beautiful. Nice and sunny and beautiful and not cold yet, but not hot anymore. It was always
great. We had one nice day. We were promised last week nice days on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Yeah. Wednesday was a nice day. It was raining on Thursday and Friday. Tori, you appeared to be ready.
Everything's very green.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
Right? I've been doing a lot of driving lately. I'm looking around going, wow, if you didn't know, you would think it was April or May.
It's so green. I imagine this is what it's like in Iceland, except it's colder, that you never see the sun.
Yeah.
Or in Norway, North Norway, you never see the sun.
They don't have the humidity, so it's
awful.
Yeah, it's colder.
And Kevin,
yes.
Could you tell us, because you are a board-certified meteorologist, and I know you don't like to talk about anything other than winter weather.
Yeah.
Can you tell us where this sort of endless sea of rain is coming from?
Well, it's coming from the sky, Tony. That's one of the spots it's coming from. It's falling from the clouds. And it's another La Nina situation. That's what we're in.
We've had
La Nina before.
Not like this.
And wait till you see what La Nina is going to do in December, January, and February.
You believe we're going to have tremendous
months. I want to tease, by the way, early December, the Tony Kornheiser official winter weather forecast.
You're going to tell us it's going to be significant snow all the time.
I don't think I've ever told you anything but that. That's typically the forecast.
When does La Nina become La Senora? Because she is not a kid anymore.
It's just a constant, tropical flow from the Gulf of Mexico. I haven't even been paying attention to it. It's so depressing.
It is really,
I can't even turn on the TV.
You can't do any of those things you like. You're not buoyed. Your spirits are not buoyed.
This is all about you not being able to play golf.
I can't play golf.
No, he did last weekend. He went out of state.
I just in place. Yeah. It's fine. I don't mind that. It's just depressing.
Do you know one of the things that all of this rain going back to the summer is causing are major bug problems? How many people are having bug problems?
Yeah.
Ants, different kinds of bugs into the home because
mosquito
of all
rain. In the mornings when I'm standing there watching the Sports Center and the Today Show on the countertop, I'm killing ants all the time.
Yeah.
They're there all the time.
Well,
have you done anything to get rid of them?
I kill them with my hands.
Well, that doesn't get rid of them.
Well, no,
where there's one or where there's
notice.
A few, there are hundreds.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got to get one of those ants.
I've left them a post-it note.
And say, get out?
Get out.
They're not paying attention?
It's just awful. It's simply awful.
All right, I've got some liquid bait suggestions for you a little bit later on in the show.
All right, so Michael went out to try to... What did you try to qualify for yesterday? What were you doing?
This was for the USGA Four-Ball Championship, relatively new tournament.
Explain where that is held and what's going on.
So the qualifier, there's local qualifiers throughout the country. The qualifier we played at was Worthington Manor, which is a great course up the 270 corridor. And the tournament
The first four holes in Worthington Manor are the hardest four holes.
They will knock you out.
They're the hardest four holes.
Don't miss left. The tournament this year is actually held in Oregon at the Bandon Dunes Resort. So this was a circle your calendar.
Nice.
And let's just say I knew not to book a flight after my first six holes.
Okay.
weather that you're describing, this is what we had to deal with for the entire weekend. You're trying to figure out, are you going to play? Because famously, the USGA is not going to allow you to play lift, clean, and place. Unlike other state tournaments, you don't get a cart. So we're like pack mules out there with a couple of rain pants, umbrellas. I haven't carried a bag this heavy in a long time when I used to carry two bags as a caddy.
Right.
But it's a very fun tournament, particularly for those of us who miss the feeling of getting your heart rate up a little bit in competition. Mm-hmm. I got to play with one of my good friends, Holiday Doug Herson.
Recent club champion of Columbia.
And he's been playing well, and you get to see a bunch of your other friends. So a few other Columbia guys were out there, very happy for Colin St. Maxon's and Billy Peel, who will be traveling to Oregon they were medalists.
How great is that?
It's cool.
They get to go to Bandon Dunes. I mean, you've known these guys for years and years and years.
Now, after I saw what they posted when I was standing on the 10th tee, I was not so, let's just say, supportive of their play. But no, it's great to see that. And it is good to get back out there and feel how you respond to a meaningful putt or to a drive when you have to post. Because it's a different mentality because it is, you're only taking one ball of the two. But if your partner is out, there is a different pressure to post, not just for yourself, but for him as well.
So what did you guys finish?
We were 2 under.
And where was that in the relative scale in a
bad
weather day?
It was tied for ninth, but tied for ninth with six or seven other teams. I would say that was a very solid showing that just said, you know, Doug missed, you know, lipped out about four or five birdie putts coming in. I just couldn't get the ball close enough. So,
how many people tried to qualify?
Well, I would guess 50 teams.
So 100 kids.
Yeah, there's a more. Well,
I shouldn't say kids.
Most of them are kids. Most of them are in their mid 20s.
And what did Colin and Billy shoot?
They were 7 under.
Wow.
And Ralph Blasi and one of his good buddies from Davidson, they missed on the third playoff hole.
Oh,
so I think they are the first alternate.
So if somebody from the entire country doesn't go, or if somebody from your section,
I don't know how they rank the alternates. Actually,
how many people participate altogether
in the actual big tournament? Yeah. I would guess probably 150 teams.
Wow, that's a lot.
I think that I'm always happy when you even try to qualify. Sure. I mean, I think that's
great.
To go test yourself like
absolutely.
That
is
very, very good to me. I think that's good. All right. In sports yesterday, I watched until what I considered to be obviously the end of the Fitzmagic era. And that was in the second quarter last night.
Yeah.
When on three successive passes.
Right.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was intercepted, including one pick six from only about 10 or 11 yards out or something like
terrible
that.
Pass.
The score at the end of the half was what, 30 to 10?
30 to 10, I think.
So I went to sleep.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking about was, what will it be like in Tampa? Who will agitate for Jameis Winston on the team in the area? What will happen?
Yeah.
I woke up this morning to see that Ryan Fitzpatrick apparently had a great
second half.
Second half.
Almost pulled it off. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Two touchdown passes, 17 points for the team, over 400 yards again.
Yeah.
Three straight weeks of over 400 yards.
Yeah.
If you are Dirk Diggler or whatever that guy's name is, the coach.
It's a bright, shining star.
If you are the coach of Tampa Bay and you've got the overall number one pick in the draft coming back to play for you starting today, starting today after the suspension for off-the-field activities, which is not a rarity in his life.
No.
It seems to be a constant in his life.
Yeah.
If you're the coach, David, what do you do?
You start Ryan Fitzpatrick next week, and you don't think twice about it.
Really?
Absolutely.
The other guy's the number one overall pick.
I don't care. He's not playing. When he was playing, he was crap. So I'm not. No, they have a chance to win games with Ryan Fitzpatrick playing quarterback.
Even when he had that terrible regression to the mean, because we've seen him for 10 years, 12 years.
Sure, sure.
And he threw three picks and three passes.
Look, DeSean Jackson, who is notoriously flinty, shall we say, when
difficult.
It comes to quarterback play.
He's difficult.
You know, says you can't take the guy out who's got the hot hand. And if he had kept throwing picks, then maybe he would have. But he came back and was throwing darts in the second half. And if not for a holding penalty, which I had never seen before, a holding penalty basically, I think on the long snapper, DeSean Jackson took a punt back 83 yards for a touchdown. And this hold had nothing to do with that. It was in the middle of the line. And, you know, it was the right call. But they could have won that game. I mean, they could have come back and won that game. And Fitzpatrick was great in the second half.
Torrey, do you do the same thing?
Yes. James Winston, he's the crab claws guy, right?
Yes, in college.
Okay.
Yeah. One of many things he did in college to give him the benefit of the doubt, a bit outside the law.
Just a little bit. A little bit. So I thought, I'm going to watch the entire game because I got to reestablish my Pittsburgh fandom, right? Since I went all in with the Caps,
I got to get back in the good graces. They don't look great, I have to say.
They didn't look great, right?
No.
Although Roethlisberger, he doesn't look great, but boy, he's fast.
He's lost some weight. He looked good. He had a good game.
Yeah. Who are the guys in the booth? Who are the guys doing the commentary?
Okay, Joe Tessitore.
Right.
I know Jason Witten and Booger McFarland.
McFarland's on the sideline.
He's on the sideline. But he's, you know, he's got
Booger McFarland was not bad.
But the other two, not the best I've ever seen them before.
But anyways.
Well, Witten's brand new.
They're my network.
Okay, Witten is a rookie. Okay, moving on. But anyways, they were talking about this during halftime. And they were talking about it when Fitzpatrick was not doing well.
Yeah.
And they were saying Jameis Winston needs to just sit down.
Yeah.
Right. And they were talking about what has been going on, and they were saying too many problems, too many issues. Let Fitzpatrick continue to play. And that was even before he had the spectacular second half. But yeah, I think Jameis needs to grow up a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, Tony, you know this. You go you got to go with the guy that the locker room believes
he was,
in.
He was one half away from being benched.
Maybe.
You know.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
Three picks in three passes is what we call Jay Cutler land.
Yeah. John Beckish.
Who's getting better.
He's getting better.
The roughing the passer stuff.
We're going to get to that. We'll
again,
to
I've read about it. It was hilarious.
No,
and I don't even know who the Steeler was, but he got called on. He just waves at the ref.
We're
going to
have Kevin during the news. He'll talk about that, and we will all weigh in. So we will take a break right now. We will come back with Jason Lockenfora about
and
this
Cooper.
And other topics and his dog, Copper.
Oh, it's Copper. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Cooper. It's Cooper Manning and Copper Lockenfora. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So this is the Lowe's ad, and I want to talk about Lowe's. I love this ad, my new go-to destination for Craftsman products. They have everything I need personally to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in Lowe's Craftsman lineup are the mechanics tool sets in a gunmetal finish. And what is so great about that? Well, the gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long lasting. And the best part is if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, it makes them easier to clean. I don't know anything about tools, but if you tell me it's in a gunmetal finish, I think that's probably pretty cool.
Did you have shop class or something like that when you were in high school?
We had 10 weeks of shop class in which some of the kids, and this is either in 7th or 8th grades, I'm going back 60 years, some of the kids tried to make bullets. They were trying to make bullets for what was called a zip gun. That was in my school. Lowe's carries a 51-piece and 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. The set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility. Nurse ratchet. So if one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet. It's got a 3-degree arc swing. You don't know what that does? I didn't. I do now. A 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. What I do when I find something has to be done in a very hard-to-reach spot, I say to the person I've hired to do that, yes. How's it going?
How's Would it you going? Like some coffee?
Yeah. Water, anything I can get. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto, AUTO, or DIY do-it-yourself project on your list. And again, my do-it-yourself project is, does anybody have the number of that guy? Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Charlie Connell, who writes, I was listening to the show the other day, as little as I want to do, and cursing why Tony and the crew don't listen to more ska punk music, ska punk music from the 90s. Then it hit me. I was in a ska band, and I can remedy this obvious flaw. My band was called the Shuttlecocks because it sounds wicked dirty, but it's actually incredibly nerdy. It's the thing you use in band.
Yes, yes.
We had a marginal amount of local fame in Chicago, then eventually broke up because we wanted to do things like go to college and not get laughed at for being in a ska band anymore. And this song is Rock Bottom.
Okay.
That's what it's called, Rock Bottom. It's a slower tune that I always imagine being sung by Muppets. And then later in the show, we'll do something to say. And he says, also, I'm a Tottenham fan, and every day I live with the pain that the most famous United States celebrity supporter of my beloved club is Chris Saliza. Eat it, Saliza. He plays in Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports. We've got a million things we can talk about. I wrote them all down. I'll stay away from last night's game. But I will, just because we talked about it earlier in the show, I think the lead story in terms of perspective and terms of what the NFL has been for the last 15 years is this. Is New England in real trouble? Because two very run-of-the-mill offenses, Jason, Jacksonville and Detroit, they couldn't stop anybody running. They just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think they're flawed, Tone. I think they're far from a juggernaut. I think they'll have to scratch and claw more than we're used to them scratching and clawing. But I can remember years in the past where they've had slow starts.
Right.
They always tend to bounce back. And I can remember writing stories 3 years ago and 4 years ago about the lack of talent around Brady and how much he's asked to do. and where's the pass rush, and where are the impact guys, and where's the overall team speed, and then they end up playing in the Super Bowl those years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't buy their roster as presently constructed. I don't buy their overall team speed. I don't buy their playmakers. I mean, I was talking to an executive from another team yesterday who said, you know, name me on their entire 53-man roster. Can you name double-digit guys who absolutely start for, you know, every other playoff team? And mm-hmm. and I don't, you know, I could get to about eight, and then you start kind of saying, well, maybe this guy and maybe that guy. But they still have Brady. They still have Belichick. And they're getting Josh Gordon, and they're getting Julian Edelman.
Yes.
Right. And that will open up the offense, and that should take some pressure off the defense. And they'll make two or three other minor trades and waiver claims, and one of those dudes might end up with five or six sacks when it's all said and done. So I'm not going to write them off, but this Dolphins game is certainly the biggest September game they've played in quite some time. I mean, and I don't know exactly what I think of the Dolphins just yet, but a 4-0 Dolphins team and everybody else in that division possibly at 1-3, that's a pretty good October margin of error for Miami if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, my position is basically that, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years, the two AFC teams that are always in contention, are the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots, and neither looks formidable at the moment, right? Neither does.
No, they certainly have their flaws. They have things that, you know, pressure points that you could exploit any given week, especially if your ball club is constructed in a way that you know, you can, like in the case of the Steelers, you can keep them in nickel. You can attack a guy like Artie Burns, although he made some plays last night. We'll see how that works out. You know, Bud Dupree was a guy who people at this time last week were saying, we think we might have completely screwed that pickup. Like, you know, this kid just looks like a tweener. We can't get anything out of him. If we don't get pass rush from him, we're doomed. Last night, Bud Dupree was all over the place.
Yeah.
Funny how that stuff ends up working out. But no, you can't write them off either. Like in that division, Cincinnati was sort of the upstart team. You know, and I know they lost to Carolina. I think Cincinnati goes to Atlanta this week. So that's a tough schedule of games there. But if Cincinnati manages to win this game, then they look like a team, and Baltimore as well. They could keep some pressure on Pittsburgh, and maybe that's a different sort of division race than we're accustomed to. But, like, Pittsburgh did go out and score 30 more points, you know? Like, Pittsburgh's basically, like, you could spot them 28 points every week. Like, they're, I know they only got 21 against Cleveland, even through overtime. You know, Cleveland looks to be a top-five defensive team, but most weeks Pittsburgh's going to score into the 30s, which helps when their defense is that bad. You know, Kansas City doesn't have a defense at all. Mm-hmm. Kansas City's defense is worse than Pittsburgh. Nobody's talking about it because they're scoring 40 every week, and they're coming out and scoring on their first five drives. So when the defense falls apart in the second half, they still win by 10 points.
I will get to the two things that were eye-opening for me and probably for anybody else who looks at the entire slate of games on Sunday. Obviously, Buffalo 27, Vikings 6.
Yeah.
I mean, that I'm going to ask you to explain. And the other thing was, on the last play of the Colts game, Andrew Luck, take a seat. Jacoby Brissett, this is a 54-yard throw, and he actually threw it 63. It almost went out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. And what does that say about Andrew Luck and his arm and his shoulder? So you can take these in either order, the Buffalo thing or the Luck and Brissett thing.
I don't know how to explain the Buffalo Bills game. It would be like asking me to explain life on Mars or some ancient civilization of which I have never heard previous to the question being asked. I could never see, like, if you created like a sliding scale and like there's on one end, you know, Bills make it close, and then there's Bills win, but it's because Cousins throws four pick sixes. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay. And then there's, you know, Bills win by more than a score. And I'm like, nah, now we're to the point of I'm not even listening to you anymore.
Right.
And then the final one is Bills win and cover by more points it would have taken the Vikings to win to cover, you know what I mean, to cover the line. Like win by more than 17.5. And I just would have been like that. I can't create that scenario in my head. I don't. And then the thing was, they just whipped them up and down the field for four quarters. It wasn't like fluke play here. You know what I mean? It wasn't a fake punt for 80 yards. It wasn't two block punts. you know, and a pick six. It was, no, we're just going to beat you at football, and we're going to out-muscle you play after play after play after play. I don't know. I'm guessing that's the Bills Super Bowl. You know, I'm guessing that it's all downhill from there. But that's just the complete shocker. I did not see that coming. I'm still not sure how they did it.
Right.
What was the other one? I'm sorry.
Jacoby Brissett in the Hail Mary, not Andrew Luck.
I mean, look, if you look at Andrew Luck's yards per attempt, if you look
it's
at
terrible.
How they've constructed
Five.
That offense so mm-hmm. far, you know, he's doing a lot of short and intermediate stuff. And whether it's them being, you know, super precautious or, you know, them not having a whole lot of deep threats, which they don't. I mean, it's kind of just T.Y. Hilton, and he's not a guy who's going to beat you 50, 60 yards downfield all that much. I mean, he's not obviously a size guy, and he doesn't have elite speed. He's just very smart and very fundamentally sound. So I think some of it is the limitations of that roster as presently constructed, and a guy who didn't play football for a couple of years. So I'm not freaking out over it. I've been impressed with him overall. And I can understand, like, they're very realistic about who they are there. I mean, they know they're, even with that division looking fairly wide open, this is not the Colts' year. You know, they right. know they have flaws. And the biggest development there has been they actually have a defense. And it's a defense that every week I find myself, I still look at the roster and say, I can't believe I'm starting to like these guys, but I'm starting to like the way these guys play and what they do as a group. So, I think it's just a matter of getting a guy out there who you know is a little more mobile and you know I mean it's weird to say this but I guess a bigger arm than Andrew Luck yeah. right now. I still think Andrew Luck's a work in progress in terms of even just his own confidence in himself to you know put it on a line 50 yards downfield. So I think in the second half of the season. We'll see that offense evolve a little bit more and take some more shots with him.
We've got the top four quarterback draftees this year are all going to start in week four. And in order, that would be Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. They will all start. And I will get to them. But the revelation at quarterback is Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes, yeah. drafted by John Dorsey, who then turned around and drafted Baker Mayfield and probably knows what he's doing. Pat Mahomes, they traded up to get him. They let Alex Smith go just yeah. on the basis of watching him. And they sat him down for the entire season, basically. Mm-hmm. I think he may have started one game.
The final week 17.
What? Yeah. And then they knew. And then they moved forward. What do you see when you look at him?
I see. I mean... I see like cyborg football cyborg. I mean it's a video game. I mean that offense, it's just not supposed to look that easy, and it's not. And I don't want to say it's not supposed to be that easy because it's not. But the outward appearance is just absolutely striking. I mean they look like you could put a combination of the '85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens defense together, right? Like, pick the best guys in those two rosters, and they're still going to score, you know, three of every four drives. It's a master class in play design, in offensive installation and construction, and in execution. And they've got every week he's completing passes to like seven or eight dudes. By week two, he's thrown a touchdown pass to like eight guys. Like, there's only so many people on a roster who actually get on the field.
It went up to nine this week.
Yeah.
He's got nine different touchdown
receivers. It is absolutely baffling. He looks as brilliant throwing a hot read screen pass to beat a blitz, just a very rudimentary thing, as he does the 10-second play on Sunday where he really pulls a Russell Wilson. He's forced out of the pocket. He spins twice. Yeah. He recollects himself, sets his feet, and then throws a bullet to, like, the fourth option in the back of the end zone. I mean, it's all special. And it can't always all be this easy. I mean, there will be right. a regression, and he's going to throw picks. I mean, the thing that blows my mind is knowing what a gunslinger he is. And I wrote a lot about him the year he came out, and he's someone who, you know, people I trust were high on. No one thought he's going to come out of the box 13 touchdowns in 3 weeks without a pick. I mean, I thought that the gunslinger part of it would lead to a few more oblique moments. Mm-hmm. And just whatever, reality, the history of this sport, that's going to happen. But the thing about this kid is it's not really going to shake him, and he has the exact temperament. He's been around locker rooms and elite athletes and professional sports literally his entire life.
His dad was a baseball player.
Dad was a baseball player. His godfather, who he really looks up to, has spent a lot of time with, his LaTroy Hawkins, who basically pitched longer than anybody in Major League history, so he understands about taking care of his body, taking care of his mind. He really has it all, and the fit of him and Andy Reid is just so perfect on so many levels. When you add in the multitude of weapons around him and a coach who understands how to get them all involved, it's shocking. It's almost every week. It's like you just give him an A+, and no quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really get an A+ all that often. It's impossible. But I do worry about their defense, and I think that will bite them a few times here as they play teams that can score quickly themselves, quick strike type offenses. But he looks like an MVP, and he's played four games. It's unbelievable.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this, and then we'll have you plug your podcast, and we'll see if the dog is alive.
You can't hear him. He's like sleeping on my chest. He'll pop up, though.
I know the Cardinals are terrible, and I know the Cowboys' offense is terrible. I didn't expect the Raiders to be 0-3 with all of that hoopla. What is this?
I mean, look, they played Denver more or less even. You know, that was a nip and tuck game, and they had Miami dead to rights, and Carr threw a pick that will keep John, not that John Gruden sleeps much to begin with, but he'll sleep even less this week. Thinking about that one, they're close. I mean, for me, the thing that surprised me is the defense is actually, no one's talking about it because, you know, he's an offensive minded coach, and you know, all everybody's talking about is they got rid of Khalil Mack, and I know they don't have a pass rush, but like, the defense has kept them, for the most part, in these games. I mean, the Rams are hanging 30 on everybody. So, you know, the week one thing, I think when we look at that through the prism of the whole season, it's going to be like, hey, the Raiders gave them a game, but that's a damn good team. And especially they were at full health at that point, the Rams were. You know, and then the other two games, they were right there. They don't have personnel right now. He's still figuring things out. He's weeding that building out in his mind. I'm sure in his mind he's fired 15 people in that building already. He just can't actually do it. Until January, they won't be able to function as an organization. I think the interesting one, really, above everything else, is Derek Carr. And is Derek Carr still the starting quarterback for the Raiders when they actually get to Vegas? And I'm not so certain that I think he is. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying he should or shouldn't be, but just trying to think like Gruden and – you know, if Gruden isn't convinced, the Khalil Mack trade showed you. If he thinks a guy's making too much money or not worth whatever, and I can get picks for him, I'll go get my guys. It's going to be very much about my guys and guys I can mold. And especially at the quarterback position, for him, having somebody who comes in as a blank slate, I think means a lot to him. I don't have to unteach anything. I don't have to correct anybody else's mistakes. He's going to know one way to think and function as a football player, and it's going to be my way. So that's sort of the dynamic I'm keeping an eye on. They're not a very good football team. They're not going to win a whole lot of games, and they're going to have to really maximize their draft capital in the 2019 and 2020 drafts.
Thank you on that. Plug your podcast for us.
Hey, Tone, this week. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. You be good for Mr. Tone. Come on, man. Mr. Tone, I don't want to hear you barking like that, hon.
So
we're going to do the podcast on Thursday this week, Tone. We're going to talk about the Ravens' big win. Is Dan Duquette going to keep running the Baltimore Orioles into the ground, hon? And then we got a big Steelers-Ravens game to preview. It's going to be a bloodbath. We'll see if the Ravens can get it done in Heinz Field. BMO show. Check us out on the Twitter and the iTunes, hon.
Thank you, Jason.
You got it, guys.
Jason Lockenfora, whose dog just goes nuts. We'll take a break. Kevin will do the news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the First Leaf ad. I like this. Michael is kind enough to buy me wines every month. Michael is kind enough to take my criticisms of the wines and
my wife
and rate them and go to the internet and rate them, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
Everybody knows that person who hypes up their bottles of wine. They get you excited with the fancy French name, but when you actually try it, you want to say, you paid what for that? Friends, don't let friends go broke on overpriced wine. With First Leaf, there's a better way to discover the wines you like most. First Leaf has created a club experience customized to you down to an individual level. By rating the wines you receive, First Leaf determines your likes and dislikes and using a custom algorithm and wine concierge team. I'd like to be on that team.
There you go.
Concierge shirt. Only sends the wines that you will love. I got started with First Leaf by answering three quick questions about my wine drinking preferences, which were red, red, and red. And First Leaf created an introductory three-pack of wines based on my flavor profile, again, red, red, and red. The best part was I got all three for just $5 each. These wines should go for like $20 a piece. When the bottles arrived, I tasted them, and I didn't actually rate them online, but Michael, you did, right? I give you the notes, and you rate them. And First Leaf takes the ratings and selects new wines based on your taste for the next shipment. The shipment only get better because you narrow it down for them, the more wines that you rate. So try First Leaf Wine Club today, where buying great wine is simple. Sign up with this personal link of mine. You'll get an exclusive introductory offer. They say intro offer. Intro is not a real word. Introductory is the real word. It's three bottles of wine for only $15 plus free shipping, and that's not all. If you rate the three wines, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box. Why wouldn't you do that? Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. That's tryfirstleaf/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
These, again, are the shuttlecocks from Chicago. Charlie Connell sent this in. This is a ska band.
Yes.
I've missed the whole ska thing.
Sounds very show tuney to me.
Missed the ska revolution.
Ska.
How about you, Kevin?
No, I sort of missed it, too.
Tori, were you a ska person?
No.
A ska mama?
No.
Or anything like that? Michael, if people like the shuttlecocks and Charlie Connell go back into their vaults and send us their original music, how do they do it? Michael, you need to get it, yes.
Email us your music by sending it to jingles@tonycornhisershow.com.
And?
Before you ask,
yeah,
you need a Tell Michael umbrella.
It's just consistently and constantly raining, Kevin.
It is.
You know, and it's not raining men. It's raining raindrops.
Right.
It's raining raindrops. Awful. So right, what do you got?
You want some news?
I want some news.
I got to turn up these headphones. Michael, you can barely hear yourself.
When I come here in the morning and Kevin has been on these headphones, first of all, the chair is all the way down on the ground, and second of all,
I'm a little taller than you.
It's jacked up beyond comprehension.
I forgot to raise the chair back up. I've been meaning to do that. I've been turning the volume down.
Yeah.
Have you noticed?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but go ahead.
Tony, NBC drew a 5.2 rating for Tigers' win on Sunday in Atlanta. That's a 206% increase over a year ago. It's the highest rated in the history of the FedEx playoffs. The internet stream, which NBC started in 2013, was up 561% from last year. And the feeling is that a lot of people were watching football and then streaming the golf on their laptop during this particular game.
So yesterday at the gym, Betsy says to me, "Did you watch Tiger?" And I said, "Yeah, of course I watched Tiger." And then she said, That was great. Yes, that was great. The ratings must be enormous. They must have killed the NFL. And I went, hold on. Sunday afternoon, nothing kills the NFL.
She said,
"Well, I'll bet that did." And I go, no, don't make that bet. I said, "I'll bet you that it was the highest golf ever opposite the NFL, but it didn't touch the NFL. And in fact, the NFL tripled the late game, the 4 o'clock game,
Dallas Seattle,
which wasn't even a good game. Right.
Wasn't competitive.
Right. Tripled.
15.3 it did.
That's right.
On Fox.
That's
now,
right.
However,
yeah. That's right.
Tiger peaked late in that round at a 7.2 rating, Tony, which means really the football opposite Tiger down the stretch doubled it.
Yeah.
Which still is incredible that the golf had that much of an impact.
Tiger Woods.
But football's never going to lose on Sunday.
Tiger Woods makes a real difference. This is, again, why I said that Justin Rose should have given Tiger the check for $10 million because everybody's money goes up when Tiger's good.
Absolutely.
And doesn't this increase viewership for the Ryder Cup?
Sure.
Oh, yes.
With him in it, it was going to be big anyway.
The problem for the Ryder Cup, not so much on the weekends, but on Thursday and Friday particularly, is that it's going to be over by 1 o'clock Eastern,
it's
10
only
o'clock
on Friday.
Pacific.
It's not on Thursday. Is it only three days? Saturday, Sunday? I think it's just 3 days.
By the way, we should get Sands on tomorrow.
I had him on the show yesterday, the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast. Steve was on.
If Nigel ever gets back from his mini vacation, we'll ask him to get Sands on.
I'm sorry, would you like a real newsman to come in?
Wow. No. Nigel. Go ahead.
Very well done. The football game last night, Tony, which you've already talked about, featured four more roughing the passer penalties.
Where are we on
34
this?
In 3 weeks have been called versus 16 a year ago. It was the number one trend last night on social media, hashtag roughing the passer. Mm-hmm. And Tony, the new part of the roughing the passer rule, the new wrinkle in the rule that was put in this year, is the one that everybody's having a problem with. And that rule reads as follows. Are you ready for it?
I am.
Takes a while. A rushing defender is prohibited from committing such intimidating and punishing acts as stuffing a passer into the ground or unnecessarily wrestling or driving him down after the passer has thrown the ball. When tackling a passer who is in a defenseless posture, a defensive player must not unnecessarily or violently throw him down and land on top of him with all or most of the defender's weight. Instead, the defensive player must strive to wrap up the passer with the defensive player's arms and not land on the passer.
I understand that that's what everybody is talking about. Mm-hmm. The Clay Matthews, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
The Clay Matthews on Kirk Cousins and the Clay Matthews on Alex Smith. That is textbook tackling. He doesn't even put his head into the body. He turns his head to the side. Why would you ever want to play defense?
Sunday, unless the NFL has determined that Newton's first law of physics is no longer applicable... I don't know how you enforce this rule. This is insane.
Well, nobody's going to want to play defense. That's a classic sack. It's not particularly. It's a hard hit. Put the guy on his back. Quarterbacks know that's a fair hit.
Yeah.
Tony, it's hard to watch. It's painful to watch. But the ratings for the NFL are up this year.
They
are. And people continue to watch
because
of the weather. The last 2 weekends. Honestly, that's had a big impact on it.
Yeah.
I think the more these ex-players and these veteran players sue the league's not backing off this.
They can't go back from this, but okay, here's a football question for you football people. They cannot back off from this. It seems pretty silly, though. My favorite part of the game last night was one of the Steelers. It was the third or fourth time it gets called. And one of the Steelers was standing there waiting to see what the ref says. And when he heard roughing the pass, he just waves at him like, well, that's silly. Yeah. That's silly.
Players,
but they cannot back away from this because they have to make it safer. And they're
players have grown up that this is the way you do it.
This is this is the very painful transition of this game to save this game. And by the way, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, by doing these somewhat extreme measures, quarterbacks are going to throw more. Quarterbacks are going to throw
more
touchdowns.
Offense.
Scoring's way up.
Yeah.
This year.
Scoring is
already
up.
Yeah.
And your average fan, not you psychos, but your average fan likes high scores.
Sure. Yes. No, I know that. Anyway, okay. What else?
Tony, did you see this story? After a difficult breakup with a boyfriend of 9 years, a 26-year-old woman visited a psychic in Bethesda.
This is a great story.
The 45-year-old psychic's name was Gina Marie Marks, and Gina Marie had moved into Bethesda from Florida a few years ago into a home on Fernwood Road. You know where it is.
I do.
From here, you go down Wisconsin all the way to Bradley, make a left
on
Bradley, Bradley all the way out to Fernwood and make a right.
There you are.
And that's where her house is, and she had posted a neatly scripted sign when she moved in.
Psychic, available.
In front of a flower bed that read, psychic reader and advisor, walk-ins welcome.
Sure.
In her first meeting with Miss Marks, the 26-year-old was told that she and her ex-boyfriend were twin flames. And the next day, according to court records now, Marks told her new client she'd need $1,500 for the work required to reunite the two.
Sure.
She persuaded the woman to light candles, cover her body with dye, bathe in oils, and recite prayers. Mm-hmm. A short time later, Marks called to ask her to up her investment. This is what she said to the 26-year-old woman. The spirit guides need to be convinced that you are serious about reuniting with your ex.
And the only way to convince them is to put money out.
Actually, initially, to put $14,800 under her mattress.
Yep.
The woman said she would ask questions and express doubts about Marx's techniques, but then a phone call would arrive on cue. And what would happen is Marx would call from an unidentified phone number after telling the woman, you're going to get a call, but don't answer it.
Don't.
And that's going to be your boyfriend trying to reach out to you.
The twin flames.
After the victim drained her bank accounts, Marx persuaded her to buy designer handbags on credit and bring them to Marx so she could place them at the altar of getting the boyfriend back.
Mm-hmm. Or the altar of, I'm going to use this bag and go out for dinner, altar. Yeah.
All of the cash under the mattress eventually came over to Marx as well, according to the case. None of it came back. When all was said and done, Marx had stolen $22,792 from the 26-year-old woman.
So the first question, of course, is how stupid do you have to be?
Pretty
and the second question is, how long is she going to spend in jail?
Well, right now she's been sentenced to 6 years. Of course, her lawyer wants her to get out so that she can pay restitution, and she can't do that without working. The question
and be a
is,
psychic.
What kind of job?
Got to be a psychic.
But Tony, this 26-year-old woman was not the one who fared the worst. Others lost one particular woman, a 28-year-old woman, also lost and depressed about a relationship. Surrendered $83,014 to Marx.
God. Oh, my God.
I want to date this woman because she's rich, first of all.
Two others lost $78,000 and over $153,000. One particular Mark lost to Gina Marx.
Oh, she's very good.
Yeah,
but not
she was
anymore.
Very good.
And this
not
is
anymore.
The one we've learned about. You realize there are thousands and thousands of people get away with this stuff. What I was struck by was how hard people were working to get back with their previous boyfriends or girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I got a really good friend, Lori, who works at GW, and we have an entirely different approach to the exes, which is you put a curse on them.
Right.
And my friend, Lori, Sicilian, she has a
well, this
curse.
Woman can do that as well.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more pricey.
We'll do it for free.
I think a place like Bethesda shouldn't be allowing walk-up psychics, you know.
Do you know why a lot of these victims never come forward is embarrassment?
They're embarrassed,
yeah,
of course.
They
yes,
should be.
And they should be. Right. Territory's right. Is that our news? We have
well, I've
else?
Got a few more things, but it's up to you in terms of your clock. I know you've got a very strict clock you're working on.
Nigel.
The Nats won last night. Nigel's not getting
I'm
in
sorry.
Here.
I have some breaking news. Steve Sands will be on the show tomorrow.
Oh, that's
yay.
Good.
Two from, days from after Paris? He was on the yes. Kevin Sheehan Show podcast.
Yes.
The Nats won, and Harper got to 100 RBI.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Jimmy Garoppolo also out for the entire year.
Out for the year. Ouch. Torn ACL.
And so C.J. Beathard, who was the kid from Iowa, who was
right.
Bobby Beathard's grandson.
That's correct.
Bobby Beathard, wow. Who was the GM of the Redskins, that's and correct. Who I like very much, and so I root for the kid. But he ain't Garoppolo.
No,
he's not
Garoppolo,
Bobby Beathard. So I don't know what.
And the great Tommy McDonald passed away.
Tommy McDonald was an All-American at Oklahoma who never, in 2 years of varsity football, didn't have any losing games because they were in the middle of the 47-game winning streak right. Under Bud Wilkinson. He's like very short. Like he's the shortest, guy, in the, shortest guy in the Hall of Fame.
Touchdown Tommy.
5'7".
Right?
Touchdown Tommy.
Yeah, that was his name.
And he and Norm Van Brocklin for the Eagles were a great partnership. And yeah, 84 years old. Okay, thank you for
You're
that.
You're welcome.
We
nice
will take
job.
A break and we will come back with Old Guy Radio. I have some stuff to talk about. And of course, some of it is going to include thoughts on Brett Kavanaugh, and yet more stuff coming through, and the possibility that Michael Avenatti has something he can throw onto the fire. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Spotify ad. This is my favorite ad because it is short and to the point and gives me an option of version one and version two. Yesterday I did version two. Today I will do version one, which is very much like version two. Did you know that every single episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is now on Spotify? Yeah, the same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite shows and discover new ones, just not too many, even the Kevin Sheehan Show, because we get very jealous very easily. To subscribe to our show, search for the Tony Kornheiser Show, tap follow, FOLLOW, and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify. They're streaming right now, and now, and now.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the most famous introduction of any song in the history of rock and roll, the bass line to My Girl by The Temptations. But why are we playing My Girl?
My Girl, written and produced by Smokey Robinson and Ronald White, the first number one U.S. single for The Temptations.
Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So this was how many years ago, about 55 years ago?
Yeah, 1964.
Okay, so 54 years ago. 54 years ago. In terms of critical commentary, The Temptations and The Four Tops are just, you know, they're
Mount
all-time...
Rushmore, right?
Yeah, they're all-time groups. They're all-time groups. The problem, of course, now is they're not all dead. They, you know, they have new people. And the sound is not the same. It's not the same. The Temptations went through two periods.
That's why they called it the Motown sound.
Right.
Though.
They had the two periods where they had David Ruffin and they had Eddie Kendrick, and then they brought in some other guy when they got rid of David Ruffin.
Right.
And they had some hits, but try not to tell me they were the same.
It's not the same.
The only group or the only person that I've ever seen, some people might argue that this was true for the Bee Gees as well, that they had a second career and it was just as good. But Marvin Gaye had two distinct periods as a singer that were just as good.
Yes.
Because Marvin Gaye was, in fact, that good. Marvin Gaye was
good. You talked about the Aretha Franklin funeral.
Yeah. Just went on for a while.
It went on for a long time.
Still going on.
Yes. The Smokey's tribute to her, that was the one that left me in tears, because he just started talking to her, and you just realize that for all the, you know, he was a superstar, she was a superstar, but she was his friend.
Yeah.
You know, like they were really friends, and the notion of losing your friends as you age, that's got to be, you know, just, it's got to be just devastating to someone, you know, especially to a famous person who doesn't probably have a lot of real friends.
And who doesn't think of the other person as famous at all, but just as a friend.
It's just my friend.
Just we're pals.
Yeah.
And then someone comes into the house and sees them both and goes, oh my God, you know, what? It's just, we're just pals. I'm going to go back in time because I'm the oldest person here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to the Watergate hearings. And the Watergate hearings, I believe, were in 1973, the summer of 1973.
That's correct.
And I was living in Long Beach at the time. I was working for Newsday as a sports writer, and I had very convenient hours. We were an afternoon paper then, and so I went to work at night. Mm-hmm. And I worked till 3 or 4 in the morning, and I had my days basically free, sleep, and then wake up 11 o'clock or noon or whatever. And I used to go, me and a bunch of people who were on a softball team called Gigi's, G-I-G-I. Mm-hmm. Gigi was a mover. He had a moving company, Gigi Moving, and we played on the softball team in Long Beach. We went to a bar called Nolan's. Nolan's was on Park Avenue in Long Beach, 6-7 blocks from my house. And in that summer, I watched the Watergate hearings.
Yeah.
I watched it every single day, and it was fascinating to me. Everybody watched the Watergate hearings. This is before the internet.
Right.
This is before constant 24-hour news.
Four channels.
Yes, you have your hand up, Tori.
It's a question about your viewing experience. And did I imagine this, or at the time, were people some people were upset because the hearings, the televised hearings, which a lot of people watch, bumped the soap operas, which were very, very big at the time?
That's very possible. That was not my problem.
Right. Yeah.
I wanted to watch what was going on. That was the only way it was delivered. And there was no real commentary after it. I mean, you watched it and you went, oh my God, Tony Ulasewicz, what? What? It's on tape, what? So we watched that, and I remember very distinctly watching it and where I was. I also remember at Nolan's, there were things called impeachment cocktails. You know, they sold you beers and cocktails.
I love bartenders.
Impeachment cocktails. And as an owner of Chatter, I'm thinking to myself, 2 days from now on Thursday.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
At 10 o'clock in the morning is start, 10 Eastern.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. I got to ask the management here. I got to ask, can we open? I mean, does somebody want to come and watch this?
Absolutely.
Can we have impeachment cocktails?
You got to have a chicken outside with a sign.
will people, because of the way news is delivered now, because it's so available in so many ways, will people come leave their homes and watch this in a crowd? Because there's nothing quite like hearing this stuff in a crowd and turning, whoa. Do you believe? Because the questions for everybody, it's very simple. Do you believe this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I've got to ask, and tomorrow I'll make an announcement. Because we're open anyway, because we've done the breakfast. We're open.
And I hate to be the prude, but the nature of this hearing and the cause of this hearing is slightly different than the impeachment hearing.
Oh, sure.
And some people who are overly cautious might say it's a little inappropriate.
And
why don't we try and finish 100 kegs?
You know, that would if that was the pushback, I would say okay. You know, I have this memory of the impeachment hearings as being something that actually sort of united people because they wanted to see it.
Sure.
Because they didn't know. Yeah. The evidence wasn't out. Now it's sort of out. It's public already.
Right.
And the prurient
nature of most people these days will ensure a massive
audience. But to Tony's point, and it's partly because we all have 9 million different devices on which we can watch these things, so there is a shared experience of some kind.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will be watching, but in different ways.
Yeah.
But in the old days, as you say, people used to gather in places to watch together.
Yeah.
Who was in this? Might just be Tony. Years ago, a crazy guy went and essentially took the Washington Monument hostage. Remember, he drove up in a van
and he had the helmet on.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was working at the White House at the time, they evacuated everybody.
Yeah.
Say, get beyond a mile or whatever, because they thought he was going to blow it up. And there was a whole tragic story of the security dog who alerted on the van, which caused them to open fire on the van. It turned out it was like a ham sandwich.
And killed the dog.
Killed the guy. But anyways,
you said a dog.
We were all evacuated, and everybody went to bars to watch it together.
I think people watched, Tom.
Yeah. So now we have there's a little more gas on the fire. Yesterday there was the woman who claimed, and we talked about that yesterday, that Brett Kavanaugh exposed himself when they were both freshmen at Yale. Then Michael Avenatti, who I know is your favorite person at this point, Tori.
Yes.
Michael Avenatti, who came to...
Can we get him on the show?
Yeah. He came to great sort of prominence through Stormy Daniels through defending her. He claims to have yet another one. Right? I don't know anything about it. I can't stress this enough, and it's going to sound political. I don't mean it to sound political, but there is no independent corroboration of any of these things. People have looked, the New Yorker looked, they don't have this. So it's going on in front of us. I'm just sort of wondering, and I guess I'm asking this of Tory, does it begin to feel like piling on and hurt the effort to not have Kavanaugh as a Supreme Court justice? And sort of persuade people that this is more political than personal.
Yeah, I think it has gone way beyond what she has been saying and what he has been saying. It is less about them now, and I think it's transforming into a lot of people, including a lot of women with good reason in the hashtag MeToo movement, very, very upset about what has gone on for years and years and years. It's become about where they stand on that issue versus increasingly people who will support Trump at any cost. This is less about Kavanaugh for many of them. It is more about, this is really just to get at Trump. And so it's turning into something well beyond what may or may not have happened 35 years ago.
Yeah, I watched the beginning of Anderson Cooper last night, and then I watched the beginning of Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity, it's two different planets. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I say it.
You ask yourself, am I on the moon? What just happened here?
Yeah. And
it's so different
all the time. People should read Krakauer's book Missoula to give you a better sense and a better understanding of what really goes on in these cases. And at the same time, I'm deeply troubled that people are accused, tried, and convicted in the court of public opinion with no due process.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely horrified by that.
So the most amazing story, Kevin didn't get to this because I told him not to.
Yes.
The most amazing story in Washington, D.C. today is
about
there was a fire at a nursing, not a nursing home, but an old age senior citizen.
Retirement center.
Yeah. You know, retirement center. A couple of days away from this in my life, Ingleside or something.
They've
like
got a really good sprinkler system though.
And this was
closer
five
than you think.
Yeah, 5 days ago, and the announcements after the first day were all the same. They were, everything's good, everybody is accounted for. Don't worry about a thing. It's fine.
It's Kevin Bacon standing outside.
Yeah, and now we're not going to go in there anymore because it's in danger of collapsing. Yesterday they found a 74-year-old man sitting on his bed.
Yeah.
He'd been there the whole time, sitting on his bed.
Yeah.
The mayor was asked about this, and she said, well, they told us that everything was good, that they accounted for. I mean, everybody's going to blame somebody else on this. This guy's just sitting there eating Fritos. This is What are we talking about
here? I tried to find and couldn't find any information. What did he? Did he have anything to eat? Did he have water?
His name is Raymond Holton. It says in the story, he emerged without serious injuries, was evaluated at GW University Hospital. Engineers assessing the structural integrity of the building heard him yelling and used a crowbar to pry open the door of his second floor apartment. They found him sitting on a couch.
Yeah. Hello? Anybody out there?
It's a lesson for all of us. When the fire alarm goes off, leave the building, right? There's that. But I can see how initially, for a day or two, or in the middle of the fire, they couldn't hear him. Yeah. Maybe he was yelling, maybe he wasn't. I cannot wait to see who gets him, right? Who gets the first interview with this guy. Mm. But how does a senior citizen survive 5 days without water?
Yeah.
It's you know, there are those amazing stories of the babies in the rubble.
In the rubble, right. Sure.
You come to expect the...
Do you know why babies often survive and newborns often survive in the case of earthquakes and rubble and things like that? Because they've gone through the trauma of childbirth and they're still coursing full of the adrenaline and everything else, and that actually carries them through.
There you go.
This is... Well, we're clear. Everything's good. There's nobody in there.
Right.
Well, you know, Charlie's in there. He's sitting there.
And what about Raymond's relatives? Where were Raymond's relatives checking in to say, hey, Raymond, you okay? Big scene the other night.
Yeah. No one is going to accept responsibility. No. There's zero chance that anyone says, yeah, it's me. I did it. I'm sorry.
The psychic would have told them that Raymond was in there if they had given her $15,000.
No one is.
Does
Raymond have a lawsuit?
I don't know if he has a lawsuit, but I think if they open the home again, he gets a free 6 months or something.
Yeah.
6 months? Let's try for the rest of his natural life.
Which may be, you know, he's in his 70, 74. No, he's got some time.
He's got some time.
And if he can survive this, he can pretty much survive anything.
Exactly. You can send him to Mars. He's good.
It's just
make sure he has a couch.
I watched that. I saw it. This is down near the ballpark. It's down near
the initial thing about that whole fire was, you guys see the videos of the Marines running down
the
street?
They came in to help everybody. Yeah. Yeah. They took out everybody that they could.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were assured, were we not, that they hadn't left Raymond behind. How you been? I've been fine. I'm hungry. Got something to eat? You know, can we get something from the Maryland house that will only take 20 minutes to produce? Take a break. We'll be back with email and a jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Picture yourself on the sinking Titanic, a self-made home gushing water inside. You reach out your hands, but there is no Kate Winslet, just a Squarespace rep with blood in his eyes. Big bags of cash, colored silver. Liberty on front door. All you must do is read the copy, but hold on. Why don't you just read the copy? The f*** is wrong with you, Tony. Your restaurant is bleeding money.
Patrick Moffitt, Sacramento, California, writes, "While I love the old man's affinity for mocking the very people who provide at least a small sack of nickels to fill his hefty pockets, I often wonder if they are sitting in a boardroom seething as he trashes their attempts to sell their product to podcast marketing or that trashes actual brands and products themselves. It's certainly a fun listen for us, but I cannot imagine the correspondence with Harry's and SeatGeek and Squarespace, etc. has been all pleasant. Hope you enjoy the jingle. Glad the band is back together for the season." But they do like it, right? I mean, we're
told... As far as you know.
As far as I know.
I keep a lot of stuff from you.
Okay, so they don't always like it?
I'm just saying, we try and protect you.
Let me thank Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports for coming on the show today. Let me thank our sponsors today, Lowe's, First Leaf Wine, Spotify. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Shad from D.C. with a haiku. One place in D.C. where beating the Packers ranks below Tiger Talk. Yeah, we led with Tiger, not the Redskins.
And you were right to
do
that.
That's what we did. Frank Curry in the Lakewood Ranch in Florida. Dear Cuthbert Hutton, it was my car with a TK sticker that you saw at 7:30 a.m. eastbound on Gandy Boulevard. First, the car is a Mercedes, not a Mitsubishi. Second, the license plate is no layup. Whether in golf or life, one should never lay up, but rather one should always go for it. A car and a model befitting a little, aspiring to be a big. That's great. That's brilliant.
Knock it on the green.
That is brilliant. From Steve the Sycophant. I had a podcast moment this weekend while rolling south on I-95 towards D.C. on my Harley. As I was eating some M&Ms and texting at about 90 miles an hour, an Acura ahead of me moved over to the right. As I zoomed by, I saw a good-looking young man driving with a guy nearly as old as I, clutching the passenger door and screaming, "We're all going to die." It so unnerved me, I pulled off at the Maryland House Nathan's for food. They were nearly out and told me to keep that their next customers would have a long wait, but that wasn't my problem. I was soon on my way. Steve is a fan. Mike from Burke, Virginia. Enjoyed your discussion of white-knuckling your son's driving on 95. One year, my wife and small children flew to Charleston for our beach vacation, and I drove the van with our incredible pile of gear. As I rolled through North Carolina going a crisp 75 and a 70, I was passed by a sky blue Porsche going at least 100 miles an hour, maybe more. I shook my head like an old man in disapproval of these kids today, but 20 miles down the road, the Porsche was on the side of the road with a police cruiser behind it and a police cruiser ahead of it. I danced behind the wheel. When you are driving and people on the motorcycles go by you at 80 or 90 miles an hour, in that instant, you are filled with fear for them.
Yep.
Fear for them. Sure. It's just too fast. Mike Vitale in Arlington, Virginia. I thought you'd be interested in the following exchange that happened in my house when I turned on Kevin's show with an earshot of the woman I'm related to by marriage. Me. Plays podcast. Wife. Wait, why did they give the weatherman his own show? Obviously a big fan of Kip's work. Brian in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. After listening to Wilbon on Monday, I was surprised no one mentioned a shout-out from Matthew Stafford on Sunday night. During the Lions-Patriots game, Matthew Stafford came up to the line late in the first half. Actually, it was in the first quarter, because I remember seeing this. And I swear he yelled out, "Wilbon, Wilbon, Wilbon," as his audible. I was watching the game with my 13-year-old and our dog, and I yelled out, "Hey, I know that guy." It was my own David Aldridge moment. I was watching it, and I heard Wilbon, and I turned to the other live body in the room and said, "Did you hear that?" And there was no response. There was no response at all. We played it yesterday on PTI.
Was it actually Wilbon, Wilbon?
Wilbon. Well, Wilbon says it's not really Wilbon. It sounds like Wilbon. Mm. It's like Omaha, Omaha at that point. And I said, do you know him? And he said, "Well, we had dinner together once, but, you know, it's just really." Mm. Now, Wilbon also said that Northwestern, much like Oregon, holds up Wilbon's picture is on one of the plays that they call. Chadwin Davis in Cincinnati. I think before anyone can be on the podcast, one must be able to say the following phrase: Russell Westbrook has a wide array of wrestling reels. These are hard things to say. Rich, in Springfield, Virginia, I was recently spending time at the home of the mother of the person to whom I'm related by marriage. After the third consecutive Hallmark Channel movie, I had to get out of there. I ran to the barn for a means of escape. Inside were numerous bicycles, motorcycles, even a horse. I was truly blown away by the wide array of ways to ride away. Kirsten in La Plata, I'm sure by now you've heard about the breakout of Legionnaire's disease at Ingleside. No need to worry, though, because it only affects adults over 50 who either have suppressed immune systems or on medication, which doesn't describe those living there whatsoever. But hey, it sounds like they just listed a vacancy, so you better jump on that while it's open. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
I wish one of your guys had children so I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles so you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have waking up every day.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
God, time seems to fly by. Just up the street to see some friends that we meet. I say hi, we shake hands, and we share our company. Our company. As before, the time does fly, and it's time to say goodbye. So we live in harmony. Friends are a very good thing to have. I don't know what to do without them. But by now, just look.